I think that's delicious.
Alrighty then. What's funny is that whole conversation of sharing the goodies is out there for the world to hear. Yay!
Oh, it is?
Yeah, we're live.
Oh, well, Crazy from Scratch is delicious. Go there and eat.
This is not a paid advertisement.
It's his opinion.
But if you'd like to, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So, we have come a long way in the Acts 2 journey. And I think if we really thought about it, there is a lot that we would still have to review again and again and again. So, I'm going to make the videos and stuff available to anyone who wants them on a temporary basis. I can't have them out there for public use, but I can make them available for private viewing. Does that make sense?
It does.
So, So that's going to be out there, available for y'all to look at, to digest through. If there's any questions that come up, the guide is a good way to look for answers. It's a great place to look for, you know, really whatever that pertains to this. There's also the book, the Acts 2 Journey, the book that goes along with it.
Yeah.
So I'd recommend you guys get that and read that as well. So, we are going to just dive right into it. What we're going to be doing by the end of the session is we all have one of these. And with our perspective ministries in mind, or even if you have recommendation for other ministry areas, we want to try to look at what we want to do in those ministries over the next 3 years. Usually I like to think in 5-year increments, but we're going to go with 3 because that's what they gave me on the chart. So, and they break it out by quarter. I have learned in my life, and my wife will tell you that I have learned this, if it isn't written down, it didn't happen. And if you don't write it down, you'll probably forget to do it. Right?
That is true.
So not only does this give us an opportunity to write things down, it gives us a deadline. And the goal is that next year, when we come back around to this time next year, theoretically, we will have completed year one. And vice versa. And then so on and so forth. Not vice versa. And so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that?
When you say we come January, we will have already completed year one?
No. By next year.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
2027.
2026 in August.
A year from now.
A year from now.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was thinking the year started in January.
Yeah. So I think we can consider this the, right now, we could consider this the third quarter of 2025.
It's July through September is the third quarter.
July through September?
That's how my work works, is quarters. So.
Okay, yeah. Help me out here. You know these things, but...
Yeah, so quarter one will be January.
No. First quarter will be from now.
Oh, we're doing it... We're
from
this
now.
The first quarter?
So consider it like a fiscal year.
Are we making this an official fiscal year?
No.
I would not do that. So, I would call this... I would start this with third quarter now.
Okay, so third quarter. So we're going to do
July through September.
Right.
Yes, 2025.
September 25.
October through December 25.
So, 25.
And January through March 26. And April through June, 26.
October through December. And then it's January through March, right?
Yep.
Then April through June. All right.
That makes sense. So for the third quarter now...
Yeah, that's where we are.
We just have the remainder of August and September to complete that.
Yeah. Goal. So don't make it crazy.
Yeah.
We want achievable goals. But we want something that will push a little bit as well. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to learn about crafting the strategic plan today. So I'm going to open us up in prayer, and then we're going to get started with our videos today. How's that sound? Mm-hmm. All right. Lord God, thank you so much for bringing us back together again. One last time together in this cohort, I pray, God, that you will continue to help guide our church and direct us. Help us to strategically put together what we plan on doing to bring this church into alignment with you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As we kind of tie together everything you've said here in retreat three, I want to kind of just give you an overview of what I think should be in your strategic plan that you will bring back to us at retreat four. Remember, we're taking the five areas, the five points of Acts 2, 42 to 47, and our strategic plan fits into all those five areas of what we're going to do in each of those areas. And that vision plan should be something we're looking at doing for the next 2 to 3 years. Let's take the first one, the connect piece. What I think is important for you in your strategic plan in the area of connection is that you develop an assimilation process of how you're going to help minister to people, starting from the parking lot. When they first come onto our property, what's our plan of welcoming them, getting them into the buildings, parking attendants, guest parking, we believe is an important piece here that identifies people as first-time guests, and then into the lobby foyer areas, greeters that are there to welcome them and help them just get comfortable, let them know where restrooms are, where the nurseries are, all those kind of things we believe should be put there. So in the connect piece, I believe your strategic plan should include all the steps from the parking lot all the way through to helping them connect to the life and ministry of our church. So what happens there on the Sunday that they come? We believe exit greeters probably are more important than entrance greeters. That there are people there ready to talk to people that are brand new after service. They're more open to talk after service than they ever were when they came in the first time. And so exit greeters, we believe, are very important. So what's the strategy that you're going to embark on? And then what's the follow-up? The first week is critical. You've got 4 to 6 weeks to connect people to the life of your church, relationally and in every other way. And so the clock starts ticking when they walk through the door that first Sunday. One of the things that we recommend is that every church have a class for newcomers. It needs to be an ongoing class. We have a process available called Grow that we're able to make available to all of you. The three class process that becomes a continued repetitive class that goes on. So if they attend this Sunday, they can join that class next Sunday. What we know is if we can get them to make the next step to a newcomers class or next steps class or connect class, the chance of them staying in our church rises significantly. And many of our stats are telling us if we can get them to that class, 75% of them will be able to keep at our church. And so everything we're going to do after their first visit is to try to drive them to that next step class or that connect class, whatever you're going to call it, and get them connected. You got 4 to 6 weeks. So what's that going to look like for your church? To stay in touch with them. And really, the connect card should not be you know, an application for a job. It doesn't need but two or three things on it. For example, a name, an email address, or a phone number, and then just a a check mark in age categories of that. That's all you would need for a Connect card to follow them up. And obviously, your follow-up needs to be age appropriate. If they're 20 somethings, text messages work. If they're in their 40s or 50s, maybe emails work. And maybe for people who are older, maybe a letter works. But what's going to be your strategy when people walk through the door or enter your campus? I want you to, in your strategic plan, to outline that journey and that process of what you're going to do with new people when they walk onto your property. There's a lot of things you can't do with people who've been there for a while, but you can do something and with people who come for the first time and have a game plan and a process. So the Connect piece should contain that assimilation plan, we call it. Everything from parking lot all the way to connecting them to the life and ministry of your church. The second area that in your strategic plan is going to be important is the area of discipleship. And I'm going to ask you to make some decisions that will inform your church in your plan. What's being taught to children? Why is that important? I want the whole church to know what the curriculum is and what the subjects are that you're teaching the kids at your church. Because there may be a person in your church who's in their 50s who works with a single mom with two kids at a job, and she'll be able to connect that single mom because she knows what's being taught at your church, and she can say, you know, let me just tell you what they're teaching our kids and share the excitement of that. So we want our church informed of what we're teaching to students as well, children and students. And then the biggest thing in your strategic plan on discipleship will be, what are we going to be offering for adults? Some of you have had traditional, what we call Sunday school classes. I would encourage you to include them in a bigger process that we would call groups of some kind, whatever name you want to come up with for them. But that should include those classes that typically you've had already going. But in addition to that, we need small groups. Because a new generation wants that intimacy. They want the relationship component that maybe older people in your church don't want or need. But small groups are a key to reaching a new generation. And so what groups are you going to be offering over the next 2 to 3 years? Start out, maybe it's just 2 or 3 small groups and expand it every year. So that you're growing your adult discipleship ministry. In many churches, only 25 to 30% of people are coming to those classes that you may have offered. And that's got to grow. And so small groups become a key to that. The kind of small groups you could be offering are groups that deal with life-controlling issues, interest-based groups, Bible study-based groups. So what is your plan for discipleship? How are you going to engage your body in growing in the area of the Word of God and in the area of discipleship? So your strategic plan should include something about all of those pieces. The third area that in your strategic plan has to do with serving. And that's the serve component becomes very, very critical for us because we're moving from a concept, if you recall, from leaders with helpers to a team concept of ministry. All of us know the concept of leaders with helpers. Here's the problem. A helper may not show up next Sunday. They won't even call you. Why? Because they're just a helper. We're promoting a team concept of ministry that says that everybody on the team owns it. And what does that mean? That means everybody on the team gets to give input on how to make that ministry better. So if you've got a preschool team, then everybody on the team is meeting together periodically and talking about how can we make this ministry better. And so what we're going to ask you to do is develop a list of teams from ushers teams and greeters teams and parking teams and nursery teams, student ministry teams, and the list goes on and on. But to list all of those teams, because what you're going to do is say to your congregation, find one of these teams to serve in. Find one of these teams to connect your life to. And so they need to see the list of what the teams are. That should be a part of your strategic plan, the list of your teams that are going to help your church move forward in the days ahead. Also, what are you going to be doing for training of those teams? Every team needs an on-ramp of training for that ministry. This is one of the components that we have really, really struggled with because we continue to lower the bar in many of our churches. If you grab somebody out of a seat next Sunday and make them an usher, you just said to them, this doesn't matter, this is not important. But if you require training to be an usher, you've raised the bar. You've raised the importance level of what that ministry is. And so there should be training components. And many of those things you can access online, because many, many churches have already done this successfully, and it's there and available to you to connect to. What are the training opportunities you're going to offer to people that will connect their life and serving as part of the ministry of your church? The stats are telling us that 25 to 30% of people in churches are serving. We believe through the Acts 2 process, you can increase the number of people serving to at least 50% of your church, if not more. God's plan is that everybody serve. But that serve component requires us to put the teams there that are made, that will be available for us, what training we're going to have available in that area. So the serve component, those are the things I think important that you have in your strategic plan. When we move to the next area, which is evangelism. Evangelism becomes very, very important as well. Because this is, if you recall, when we did our surveys and we did our assessments, evangelism showed up very, very light and one of our greatest challenges for our church. And so this area is going to need a lot of attention. And learning how to do evangelism in a new way, in a new paradigm. So here's my recommendation for the evangelism component for your church. I hope you're writing these things down. The first thing in evangelism is world missions. What is our church going to do to impact the world with the gospel? A church can't be blessed unless it's involved in ministering and connecting to reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the first thing. In your strategic plan should be, you know, how many new missionaries we're going to add to our investment as a church in missions. Are we going to be taking a trip or two in the next couple of years to take people overseas to experience missions firsthand? So when you look at evangelism, the first piece here is world missions. What are we doing in helping to reach the world with the gospel? The second component under evangelism should be acts of love. What do we mean by that? We mean that your church will make decisions about investing in your community just to show people we love them without any expectations. Maybe it's cleaning up an elementary school and painting somewhere. Maybe it's working with the projects in your community, as our church did just recently with going into a neighborhood and doing major painting and cleaning up in those areas. Maybe it has to do with getting water bottles to the fair. That just say to our community, we love you, and we're just happy to be here to let you know that we care about you and your family. Acts of love are very, very important for a church. Just doing things because we love people. The third component of evangelism, I want to call marketplace evangelism. Because marketplace evangelism is where we get our church body back involved in to the community. If there was one thing that was characteristic of the first century church, they were involved in ministering life all week long, because the Bible says the Lord was adding daily to the church people being saved. Well, that means that every day they were involved in the community, touching people with the love of Jesus Christ. And we believe that that's critical. Are you going to have a couple, two or three times a year, a friend day or a special day that gives your people handles to invite friends, unchurch friends, to come to church with them? It's going to be important that we really get involved in helping our church people reach out to people who need Jesus, build relationships with people who need Jesus, and earn the right to share Jesus with them. And so our whole concept that we've already talked about is not some 10-week evangelism program, but as you've heard us talk about through this whole journey, it's about learning how just to tell your story. Tell your story. Memorize a couple of verses of scripture and love people. That's all witness is all about today. It's telling your story, sharing a couple of verses of scripture, and just loving on people. Everybody in our church can do this, because everybody should have a story of what Jesus did to change your life. So your evangelism strategic plan should include three things: world missions, acts of love, and thirdly, marketplace evangelism. What special days are we going to offer to help give our people handles on inviting friends? And what other strategies are we going to do to take the church back to the marketplace? Our buildings are really for worship and training. The ministry needs to happen in the marketplace. What's your strategy as a church for how we're going to get our church outward focused back into the marketplace with the gospel? So evangelism is very, very important. So in your plan, those three things, I think, should be strategically listed and talked about in your strategic plan. The last area is worship. Worship is something that's very important because every church does worship, and we really focus on a lot of things in worship as a church, and rightfully so. Worship, as you've heard several of us talk about, it's more than just what happens on Sunday. It's a lifestyle, and we worship the Lord in all the things that we do, whether it's giving and an offering on Sunday, or it's singing to the Lord when we serve in the community. All of these things are acts of worship. And so in your plan, there should be just opportunities for us to worship in many, many different kinds of ways. Maybe we'll take the worship to a park as an outreach opportunity. What's going to be your strategy? Think creatively about how we can do that with worship. Under worship is also the prayer ministry of your church. It's so important that we have strategic plans for prayer. Great churches move forward on their knees. And so I'm asking you to consider for the next 2 to 3 years, what's our prayer strategy? What is it we're going to ask the Lord to help us to do in prayer that will break down strongholds, that will prepare us to be the church God's called us to be? And so 24-hour prayer vigils, prayer weeks where we focus on that, prayer walks in neighborhoods and communities, and intercessors that pray on a regular basis. All of that part of your prayer strategy. And I think it's periodically you need to bring the church together for corporate prayer. Let me talk about corporate prayer for just a moment. Corporate prayer is more than everybody coming to the church and finding a place to pray. You can do that at home. Corporate prayer is about the power of agreement. You come together as a body of people, and there are things you're going to prayerfully agree upon in prayer. You're going to come together, and the power of 100 people, 200 people, 500 people, whatever the number is, we're praying together for this situation or that opportunity or for that open door. Corporate prayer is the power of coming together and praying agreement or praying for breakthrough in specific areas in our church and in our ministry. And so what's your prayer strategy going to look like? How is that all going to fit together? And so when you look at your strategic plan, there's at least one or two major things you can put there in each of those five areas. Now, all of those things won't be accomplished in the first year. That's why we're talking about a 2 to 3 year plan. But I'm asking you to put those in your strategic plan, in the area of connection, the area of discipleship, area of serving, the area of evangelism, and the area of worship. And so when you come to retreat four, and you'll have the opportunity to present your strategic plan. It's going to be exciting when all the churches that are part of our group will come and share a draft version of the vision they're going to present to their church at a later date. One of the things that we ask churches to do is to put it in writing. Here's one church that took their vision plan and put it in writing. So your plan, your vision plan should have several components in it. First of all, what's our vision? Your vision should be in this vision plan. I mean, in the strategic plan. Secondly, our core values. They should be listed and defined in your vision booklet. Thirdly, then each of the five areas. What is your strategic plan in each of the five areas we just discussed together? And so, we believe it's important not only to come to retreat four and do a PowerPoint or a video or whatever. But when you get to the point where you're going to present to your church, people need something in their hands as well. And that's why the vision booklets are so important that you prepare those. Coming out of retreat four, you'll have a chance to tweak all those things and get them ready. Here's what I read somewhere in the scripture. Write the vision down and make it plain. And that's what this booklet will do. It takes all the things we walked through in the last year as far as the Acts 2 journey, our vision, our core values, and then our strategic plan in five major areas. And all of it right here in one place where everybody can see it. And on Commitment Sunday, which is our Vision Sunday, we're asking our church body to commit to this vision for the future. Many of those things in this booklet can't be accomplished unless we get more people involved in ministry. And that's the point of Commitment Sunday, because we're going to ask our church body to commit to that vision for the future. One of the things that's going to be very important is that not only does the vision team buy into this, because they've helped put it together, but it's going to be important before Vision Sunday that you meet with all the key influences of your church, all the leadership of your church, walk them through that vision plan. Because ahead of Commitment Sunday and Vision Sunday, you want your leadership to have already committed to this vision. So that, Pastor, you can walk into that Sunday service of Vision Sunday and say, our leaders have already signed their commitment to the vision of our church. It speaks volumes to the rest of the congregation that the leadership of the church have already taken ownership of the vision for the future. And on that Sunday, at the end of that service, there's going to be a commitment card that you're going to put together that just simply says, I commit my time, talents, and resources to God's vision for our church. And you're going to ask them to commit their time, their talent, and resources to the future of your church. That's the altar call on Vision Sunday. Signing a commitment. Many churches have had people march forward with the worship team singing a song of rejoicing and celebration and putting their commitment cards on the altar or on the steps in front of the platform, making their commitment, I'm committed to the future of our church. That's going to be an exciting time for you to be able to do that. And some of our other dialogue, we've kind of unpacked kind of what that Vision Sunday should look like. But what's important today is for you to understand, coming out of Retreat 3, these are the things we're going to ask you to have put together and have ready to share with everybody else when you come to Retreat 4. And so I'm excited because every Retreat 4 is one of the most exciting retreats I've ever been to. Why? Because all of our teams get a chance to teach it. All of our teams get a chance to share what God has put in their heart and the vision they have for their church for the future. And so I'm excited about Retreat 4, because all of this then becomes reality and we begin to talk about it and share what God's told us as a church. And it's going to be an exciting retreat, but more importantly, it's going to be exciting to prepare for that Vision Sunday that's coming down the road, where you roll this out to your entire church and ask your church to commit to the future vision, the next 2 to 3 years, what we believe God has called us to do as a church to move forward. May God bless you.
All right. So.
I think that sounds awesome. If mm-hmm. we can actually, mm-hmm. you know.
So can we do it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just planning.
Which you love planning, actually. Mm-hmm. You're a planner.
My thought of one of the obstacles we'll have is the size of our church, you know.
What do you mean by the size?
Well, because we're so small, you can only utilize people in so many different areas, you know.
Well, like I was talking about this morning during the service, I think the key to that is making sure people do what they can do. And if there's an area that we are lacking in, we toss that up to God. We say, God, we're lacking in this area. Give us direction. We have the Holy Spirit. So, I mean, my pastor in Virginia used to have a saying. He said, there's two kinds of equity in the world. Financial equity and sweat equity. One's cheaper than the other. And it's usually financial equity. Because people are expensive.
Yeah.
But you don't get as much out of it when you use finances over people.
Right.
You can't throw money at a problem to make it go away. in the long term. However, if we fall short in a certain area, like if we are lacking in, I don't know, whatever piece of the vision that's missing, I think we have to think beyond our walls here and understand and remember we're part of a community. And we can reach out to people. We know people. You know, we're not alone. Mm-hmm. You don't get to put a table up for a bake sale at the grocery store on the fly. You've got to know the person in charge of making that decision. Mm-hmm. Which is why the first time you pitched that thought to me, I was actually thinking of another location. Because I don't know the grocery store people that well. But there is another location in Conway where I do know the people better.
Well, maybe it would be good to go to a place we don't know them so that we can get to know them.
There is that possibility as well. And that takes judgment and discernment and wisdom and so on and so forth.
And the culture of the area, whether that's acceptable.
Right.
To those people.
You know, would the grocery store be okay with having the competition of baked goods outside of their building?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, I'll be honest, it falls into that category of, I've never seen that in our community before. Does it mean it can't happen? Mm. No, doesn't mean that can't happen at all.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone selling something outside of the grocery store, except for like the Europe's Calling or England's Calling pastry thing that shows up.
Yeah. Well, we could do the Dollar General or...
Yeah. But see, that's one of those things that's like, I haven't seen that.
Well, we have to communicate, and mm-hmm. there may be a policy from the company itself that doesn't allow it. So we would need to talk to them.
So there's policies, there's procedures to follow and things like that. And we want to run everything through the lens of relationship. Because if we sit outside and sell baked goods, could we raise some money? Yeah. Could we have 5-minute conversations with people? Maybe. You have to remember, they're there for a purpose. Especially the guys. They're there to get what they need and get out. There's not a whole lot of linger factor. You know what I mean? Like, if I'm going to go to Walmart, I almost expect to see the Girl Scouts or someone out there. Because when I'm going to go to Walmart, sometimes I'm just there to linger for a little while and look around.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you've never seen me do it, but I do it.
But I'm not. So if I see someone selling something, I'm steering clear of them. Because I don't want to
stop. I do that sometimes myself. Yeah.
And I'm usually in the rush.
So we have to be discerning about that.
Oh, yeah.
So, but that takes wisdom. And,
I did mention Walmart this morning.
Yeah.
You know.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
So, all right. I think we should move on, and then I want to share these things with you after we watch the next video, okay?
Okay.
You know, guys, we're all convinced that this is really not a silver bullet. In fact, we pattern ourselves after this Acts 2 experience. You think about in verse 4, 3,000 people got saved in one day. That's the event. And at the end of the chapter, they were getting saved daily. So it went from an event, which was very important, to a process.
So a lifestyle.
A lifestyle. So what we're trying to get people to understand is that this is a journey. It's not a program. You don't enact it and then you're done. But we do have some specific markers along the way. And one of them, probably one of the highest priorities is as we get to the point where we've got it all gathered together, then we've got to present it to the congregation.
Yeah.
And we've got to do what we call launch the vision of the dream.
Yeah.
Launch it. So now, it's been difficult. It's been difficult for all of these things to be kind of held, and we don't want people to think that this little team over here is an elite group.
We've also instructed the pastor, and it's been very difficult for the pastor, because every time they hear something that they really like in one of the retreat settings or one of the teaching sessions, they want to go to the pulpit and make it known. So we've said, please hold all of this, and then we get ready to do this launch Sunday. That's a big deal. So let's talk about, how do you prepare the crowd, the congregation, the people outside, because you're going to have people from outside, you got people from inside, for this big occasion where we're going to launch this vision. It's a big deal. We got a few minutes. Tell me, what do you want to do?
One of the things that I would definitely say as we're headed toward that day, you know, we've worked together as a team. We've built this vision statement. We've identified our values. We've identified the strategic steps we're going to take together. What we don't want to do is, and I've made this mistake so many times. In fact, one of the things the Acts 2 journey has taught me that I wished I'd have known then, and I understand now, is I sometimes had this idea that, well, you know, to be fair to everybody, nobody gets a preview. You know, we're going to just, on one big Sunday, we're going to just lay this all out for everybody so that nobody gets any sort of special treatment. And I'm realizing what a colossal mistake that was, because what I want to do now every time in talking with pastors is, once we have the plan together, some of the first people I want to sit down with are those missional people that may not have been a part of our team, but they need to be on board. Yeah. I want them to understand. You know, we talk in the journey about two out of every three people in a church are probably consumers. They come on Sunday, they come into our ministries to receive. They bring their needs. A lot of Jesus crowd, we're the same folks, you know, they bring their needs. So there are always going to be people who come first and foremost to be ministered to. And then there's about a fourth of the people, about one out of four, that are what we call ministry people. They're going to be individuals that help us. They come alongside, they help us, and they're there. We're so grateful for them, you know, that they're there to roll up their sleeves. But there's the rest of them, which there's not a lot left, are these people that really get it. They understand the heart of the why, the mission. In fact, they're finding their own sense of mission in what we do. And these are the missional people. So when I think about those three groups of people, when I'm getting ready to present a vision to the church, I want to work that group backwards. I want to, first of all, sit down with those missional people, maybe over a cup of coffee, maybe one-on-one, or a husband and wife team, and just talking with them and sharing what's on our heart. And then maybe I want to pull in all those ministry people, all of our helpers together, maybe in a larger group setting, and say, here's what God's been saying to us and our team. Here's what's coming. Here's the plan. And so what I've done, really, before we ever get to Vision Sunday, I've already shared much of this vision with a third of my congregation. Mm-hmm. Why that's so important is, when I get to Vision Sunday and now I'm sharing it with all the consumers, well, consumers hear through the lens of, how's this affect me? What does this mean for me? And when they have questions, or they're not sure, they heard something they like, who do they go to? Well, they don't come running to me. They go to the people they see that are involved. They go to the ministry people they're connected with.
Right.
If I haven't prepared those folks, then they're at a credible disadvantage.
If somebody walks
up and says, oh, what do you think about that? I'm not sure I like that, or whatever, they got a concern. I don't want that ministry person to say, I don't know, first I've heard of it. You know, I want them to be ready. So I've got a third of the church on Vision Sunday already prepared to help me in the church hallways and to help all of us as we present. So to me, even before we get there, I want to do that prep work so that when we get to Vision Sunday, a third of the room already is excited about where we're going. They're already ready to join us. They've already brought their hearts into this, and they're a part of the us that share.
Which is the value of process.
Absolutely.
So, you know, we believe that the Holy Spirit can produce a supernatural miracle anytime.
Right.
But we're involving that and this. It's not either or, it's both and. Exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
And it's great to be able to come to Vision Sunday and say, the leadership of our church have already signed their commitment cards.
Exactly, absolutely.
So a week before, you're having that meeting where you're calling that one third to make their commitment.
Sure. Yeah,
exactly. Make their commitment to the vision ahead of Vision Sunday. I mean, that's what takes it over the top.
You've got a third of the church already coming to the altar. They're ready to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So, but for a pastor to be able to get up on Vision Sunday and say, this percentage of our church, all of our leadership have already signed their commitment.
Yeah.
Before we got to this day.
So you just made a statement, and I want you to unpack this specifically now, Ron, because you have experience. You literally, in one of your roles, you serve as interim pastor and have done that for several churches and several times during transition.
Right.
So tell me,
I mean, I just heard you say they've signed a commitment card. So I'm sitting here going, you have a card? So there's some practical steps.
Yeah.
So I'm talking about specific steps.
Sure.
Unpack that.
Sure. Well, first of all, let me just say that that retreat four, the team presents their draft presentation for what they're going to present back at home.
Yes.
So which is starting to prepare them for Vision Sunday. Retreat four will prepare them for Vision Sunday. So it starts there and then goes forward. Well, you know, so the, what Mike has said is so powerful to bring us to that point. And Vision Sunday, has, as you said, has got to be a special, special day. And one of the things that I think is important to do is start out by doing a save the day promo. That on October 12th is going to be a banner day for our church. You don't want to miss that day. If you made plans, you need to change your plans because you need to be here October 12th. This is going to be one of the biggest days in the life of our church.
Yeah.
So you start the Save the Day campaign with the crowd, okay? And then the leadership, I've always had the leadership and the one-third crowd that Mike got ready for us is they're wearing t-shirts with the vision statement on it.
Yeah.
And they they're balloons and they're, I mean, it's like a celebration Sunday. And when the consumers walk in, they think, oh my God, something is going on here.
Yeah.
Something's happening here. So they get that message right away that something's happening here. That kind of sets the stage for that service. And there are three things I think need to happen in that service on Vision Sunday. First of all, it would be important to revisit how God brought us from where we are to where we are today. In other words, we've got to embrace the past. Because there are folks sitting there saying, well, you know, you don't even care about what we did and the price we had to pay 20 years ago. You wouldn't have this building without us. And so we've got to embrace what's happened to bring us to this moment and bring those people on board with us. We acknowledge the sacrifices that got us here and the people who made that happen for us, and you're sitting here today. So there's a review of what got us to where we are. The second step then is here's the vision for the future for the next 2 to 3 years. And we roll it out, highlights, major points with PowerPoint, video, whatever. And by the way, you know, I had a church recently, runs under 100, that came to retreat four to share their vision plan. And they had this incredible video. I mean, incredible video. And after the meeting, I said to the pastor, I said, how much did that cost you? I know it was a smaller church. I said, how much did that cost you, that video done? He said, a 13-year-old boy in my church did that video. And so I say to churches, if you don't know how to do this stuff, ask the junior hires in your church. They will show you how to do a PowerPoint. They'll show you how to do a video for your church.
So, that's true.
So what I'm going to do is to share the vision place. The third piece is critical. And it's what everybody in the room who's a consumer is asking. Why do we need to do this? Why should we do this? And the third part is helping them see the need of their community. Help and anything visually we can do to help them capture the stats on how many unchurched people there are in their community. Because there's this myth among church people that half the church, half the population of the city goes to church. And so there's a myth we have to break down. I want to show them pictures of kids on the streets at 1 o'clock in the morning if I can, and I've done that. I want to show them how many marriages were in divorce court in the last year in this church, in this city. I want them to see the stark reality of this town they live in. And even in the smallest town, the countrysides are filled with meth labs. So there are things that we need to say, here's why we can't stay here.
Yeah.
Here's why we can't be okay with where our church is today. And so it's really, the third part is critical, because I've got to help that church understand how critical the needs are in our community.
And Ron, this is so important, because what you're saying, and I 100% agree. This is what's got to happen on Vision Sunday. The goal of Vision Sunday is not to lay out for people the 35 things we want to do over the next 3 to 5 years. So, I mean, we're going to talk a little strategy. We're going to let them know we have a plan to give them enough insight that there is something. But the goal of this Sunday is to get this vision in the hearts of the people.
That's right.
The goal of this Sunday is that commitment that says, I want to be a part of this. I see the need. I feel the heart. I'm joining my heart to this.
Exactly.
You know, as a team, we've been working on this maybe for a year. You know, we've been we've been building this. It's been growing in us. This is brand new to all these friends that are hearing it for the first time. So, yeah, that goal, we got to be laser focused. I like the way you divided those three parts, because it's all about saying we got to do something. We got to do this, and we believe this is God's vision for our church.
Yes, and you got the reality of the plan. But now it's about the heart.
It's a heart,
and it's about the ministry of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
On that Vision Sunday, capturing the hearts of those people.
Yeah. So, that card you need.
So I'm going to get to it in just a second. But let me ask. So this is a question to you. So when you're talking about the compressed version of the plan, so you're wanting people to commit to. The vision, I mean, it's easy. I mean, I think, y'all tell me, it's easy to say, here's the mission we've been given. Here's our vision statement that we have accumulated, determined, worked through, prayed through, agonized over, and we're ready to present. But here are the values that all of us, this one third, have already committed that we're going to live by. Mm-hmm. And we're going to ask you in just a moment to commit to all of this. Because the why is, we got to get to here. So, I mean, you could do it as briefly as that, really.
Yeah.
I mean, so you don't, am I right? And then when you get there, then you're saying, and then you want the Holy Spirit. You need the Holy Spirit to really convict people. And then, if you get to that point and you don't have a response time, that's really, in my opinion, missing. That's swinging a miss. So
I think the other thing that I think is important is having the plan in written form that we can put in people's hands.
And we show them exactly what that means and what it looks like during the Acts 2 journey. Right.
Exactly. So that there's something.
We show examples.
Yeah, we're handing that out on that Sunday morning and saying that I'm going to give you the message is the highlights, but you've got the details here. This is what it looks like. And here are all the teams that our church will have that you can connect your life to. And so the commitment then is a very simple commitment. And it says, I commit my time, talents, and resources to God's vision for our church.
Yep.
And that commitment means that I'm going to attend a corporate worship service. I'm going to get in a class or group, small group, where I can learn and grow.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm going to serve somewhere.
I'm going to serve.
And what we're doing for that whole church is reinterpreting what it means to be a fully devoted follower of Jesus.
And we go back to our definition.
And a fully devoted follower of Jesus, this is not multiple choice.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, why would you say you love Jesus and you're not in a place where you can keep learning and growing? Why would you say, as a Christian who's been saved for 20 years, you're not serving somewhere? How is that possible? How is it possible for you to say you're a fully devoted follower of Jesus and you're not serving? So here in your booklet is the 15 teams that this church has. Look at that list. Begin to ask yourself, Lord, where would I fit there? Because everybody belongs on a team.
Well, remember, the decline that many churches are facing today is largely driven by inward focus. And so Vision Sunday is all about, getting that focus off myself. You know, what I'm asking the congregation to do is be willing to see what we see and to be what we've decided we need to be. So that's the vision, the values. There's these opportunities. It's obvious that we're not just passionate. We got a plan, because passion that doesn't end up with a plan seldom produces
a false start.
You know, it's almost always a false start. You know, we're talking about that whole new life cycle that we're going to see for our church. But it's got to start with the heart connection, and that's where you're calling them to that decision. Come be a part of this with us. Come be all in with this. This is what we're going
to
do.
And we ask them to march forward and put put it on the altar.
Bring that card.
Bring that card and put it on the altar.
If it's possible, now I've seen you do this. If it's possible, the last thing they see is what? On that screen.
That vision.
You're going to see the number.
And the number, the number of people.
If you can find it.
The number of people in our city who are on church, and you can find it.
You can find it.
The numbers.
Now that,
you want them to see. You want them to see on that wall the number of people in our community that still need Jesus.
Our job is not done.
Exactly.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.
There's a question.
Go ahead.
Okay. It said that everybody needs to be on a team. How do you know when a new person that has been visiting is committed enough to be placed on a team?
That's a part of that new person pipeline that you would create. So that would be the role of that, is to help the person assimilate into the church. And a part of that assimilation process is helping them to discover a place where they can serve or where they should be serving, discovering their calling, like what I was talking about this morning.
Right.
Finding your calling and then serving in your calling. If you serve in your calling and you're doing what God has commanded you to do, because he's created you to do it, you'll find joy in all that you do. And so that's the blessing. So, but that's a process of assimilation. It's not a they walk in the door and all of a sudden, hey, you're on this team. Right. Now, I have done that before with people.
Yeah.
Wanda. I did it with Wanda on her second week. I said, you need to come to worship practice. Do you know why?
You saw her gift.
I saw her gift. But do you know why else? Because we're a small church.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't have a formal assimilation process.
We are nimble. We can move and shake and do stuff a lot faster than those big honking churches.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Yeah.
I remember walking into my parents' church, their old church, and on the floor, they had their, like, pathway to whatever. It was like you show up, and it's like this whole thing. As you walked into the sanctuary, you saw, like, the assimilation path.
That's,
and I was like, well, that's
kind
of cool. That's kind of nice. And I thought... And, you know, and I think about stuff like that, like, here, and I'm like, I don't know that I would ever be able to get that off the tile. But but for them, I mean, it didn't matter. They had tons of money because they were a bigger church, and they made good money on the on their offering and everything else, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Every church is different.
Yeah.
Could James River pay off everyone's mortgages in the city of Ozark in 10 years? Probably. But they wouldn't have electricity. So you just have to, you have to work with that. And so there's some more that's in here that we can talk. I encourage you to read it. One thing I want you guys to look at is this chart here on 82. And what you see here are the six steps: the visions, the value, communication skills, resources, and action plans. If we can get all six of those right, we'll successfully change. If we start feeling confusion and chaos, we know that there's a lack of vision. If there's conflict and apathy, it's a lack of values. If there's misunderstanding, hi, I am the king of misunderstanding. Aren't I?
Yes.
Why? Why is that? Because crazily enough, I am a weak communicator.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but it's true. I didn't think about that. I have to hound you, but I'm your wife, so other people don't have that kind of access.
But see, here's the thing, is that if you look at this, I can spit vision at you all day long. I can talk values all day long. I've got some skills, and I can find and manage resources for the church and put action plans together. I'm great at action plans, man. Let's do action plans. Leah's better than me at it, but What's the one piece that I'm not great at? Communication. So what does that mean for my life? One of two things. Either I got to get better at communicating, or I need help. I've actually thought that. I've thought about that a lot recently. I need help. And, you know, I have put a lot of pressure on my family to be that help for the longest time. And I think a lot of that came from the fact that for a good portion of the beginning of our whole time here, it was just us. And I've gotten used to, again, I've lost the values because I'm now being apathetic and creating conflict. I've gotten used to that, and that's not where I should be, not as a leader. So I've started to depend more on other people, and it's taking time. I visited a church in Virginia once. My wife and I visited a church in Virginia once when we first moved there, and the pastor had the soundboard on stage. He had a piano on stage that he played. He did everything.
Yeah.
And you know what I told myself? I'm never going to do that.
Yeah.
So where's our sound system? It's on stage.
Uh-huh.
Who's playing piano every Sunday? Who's putting the worship sets together? Yeah. Who's doing all the stuff? And I could sit back and be like, look, I can do this better than everyone else. Or I could sit back and go, I need to step back and let some people make mistakes. Because if they don't make mistakes, they're not going to learn. And they're not going to get a chance to do it. I love the fact that you guys are going to do women's ministry on fifth Sundays. I think it's wonderful. But who's going to take over? Who's your replacement? Ah! Don't do that, because that's what I do to her.
Yeah, everybody
loves me. The temporary children's director over there for the last 4 years.
Yeah, right.
Three. Yeah. First year was someone else.
That's right. First year it was somebody else. Mm-hmm. Well, first few months anyway.
It was a year.
Mm-hmm. Anyway. Yeah. But I think we're heading in the right direction for a lot of these things. It's just,
I mean, as a church that's being revitalized, when you were describing relying on us, doing it yourself, it wasn't that you wanted to do those things, it's that you were the only one that could do them
exactly
at the time. And so as we're growing, mm-hmm. as we're transitioning, we need to make sure that we are looking for those opportunities to
yes.
train up others and make sure that others know that it is an open door. We're not
right.
doing this because we think we do it the best and we want to do it.
Right. Yeah.
We
yeah.
are doing it out of necessity until others come that can also do it.
And a key thing for me is going to be figuring out how to communicate to people. It's not just that I need to. I know that I need to. But how do I do that effectively? Because right now, if I'm to communicate with everyone in the church, I am sitting down for the next 45 minutes to 2 hours making phone calls.
Yeah.
I don't have that kind of time. Now, if I've set aside time to talk with people, or if I do have the time to talk
right.
with people, I have no problem. Like I've always said to people, call me. If I'm busy and I can't talk to you, I won't answer. You can leave a voicemail. But if I pick up, I'm willing to talk to you. It's that simple. But the thing is that I need to learn how to either communicate with everyone, or we need to find a way for our congregation to come together and communicate in a singular way. Does that make sense? Everyone can go here and know what's going on.
He's saying church app.
Yeah. Which works if people use it.
It works if people use it. How?
And you have to keep it updated, and you have to make sure the sermons are right.
Yes.
On Mondays.
But if that's all I have to do, I'm a happy camper. Because here's the thing. That is easy for me. But if, I mean, seriously, if that's all I have to do, great. Wonderful.
Yeah.
And what's wonderful, what's even better is that it creates template emails and text messages and all this stuff. It's beautiful. But if nobody uses it,
right,
it's not working. How many times have I said, hey, do you have the Church Center app? You really should get it on your phone. And then my daughter, of course, goes, I don't have it on my phone. Guess what? She has it on her phone now.
Yeah, I have it, but I don't really know how to use it. And I'm good at figuring that kind of thing out. And so imagine the people that aren't as good figuring out new technology.
Yeah.
So it's not, I don't know, in the class or something. Yeah. And then you also have to make sure that whatever they have to keep up with on there is valuable enough that they need to be looking at it.
Yep.
Yeah, I've gone there several times, and it's like there's nothing there, no information or anything, you know, because nobody's using it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So, and a lot of that is, a lot of that has to deal with the fact that we have not fully implemented it. We don't have groups established.
Right.
Because groups have communication systems in them, built in.
Yeah.
Like texting.
Messaging within the system. Yeah. And what's great about messaging within the app is it doesn't end up on your text messages.
And then when we have new
people. And it's confidential.
And then when we have new people join, it's not like with the text group, which you're having to make a new group constantly.
Yes.
We have new people.
Yeah.
So it's designed to be able to jump in and out.
Exactly.
And do they actually have to share their phone number with everybody in the group?
No. No, it's kind of like messaging.
It puts their, you put the name on it, and it has the phone number.
Right. Yeah. So then it's private.
That's one of the things I've had a problem with, is because
texting groups. Yeah.
Some people don't want everybody in that group to know their number.
No, it's just like Facebook Messenger groups. Yeah. So, all you have access to is the messaging platform.
Well, and see, that's the other option. Do we go with Facebook? Because for a while there, for about a year and a half, I was like, Facebook is the way to communicate. And what I have learned is that that's just not the case.
It is for a percentage of the population.
It is for a percentage of the population who are of a certain age.
So not even the youngers.
If we're going to put together Christmas mansions, where are we blasting it out?
Facebook.
Yeah.
Exactly.
If I'm going to do a youth event, where are we blasting it out? I have no idea.
Right, because Facebook isn't the right place. My girls,
kids are not on Facebook.
Yeah, they're not on there. It's our age.
What about TikTok US?
I've thought about that, but that is not my, that's not my jam.
Right.
I don't do video content. But I know people that do. Maybe they could help with that. They didn't always ask to get paid for it. But I don't, there's pieces and parts that me as a communicator, I need to get put together and things like that. But I mean, you guys, you can see areas as well, I'm sure, in your lives where you're lacking. I mean,
oh yeah.
You, Leah, you have limited resources.
Sure.
Not that you don't have the stuff that you need in order to run Kids Church. You just have limited time.
Right, yeah.
And that's a resource.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's when we started having more people come, and I realized that as just us leading, even Marlena too, we have a limited capacity. So that's when we have to start branching out and establishing groups and positions as we grow, because you just don't have the resources, the time to make things work when you get bigger.
Yep. So. Well, one of the things that I need to get over is that I need to be okay with making product that is sufficient. Because when it comes to like printing and things like that, I want it to be pristine and wonderful. And I don't have the time to put it together. I had this conversation with my daughter the other day about AI. And I said, I've used AI with the church because I just don't have the time.
Mm-hmm.
And if AI can create something for me and I don't have to think about it, great.
Yeah.
Like that slide for this morning, uh-huh. for the fifth Sunday. That's super basic, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Words on a screen with a color background.
That's all uh-huh. you needed.
Yeah.
But it could have been 30,000 times better had I had an hour.
But you don't need to take an hour to make a slide.
Right.
Or you need to find someone else, so that's their area of gifting.
Bingo.
And they want to take an hour to make a slide because they yeah. love doing it and they have the time.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's where I've got to step up in certain ways. And I'm sure you can see places where the two of you also feel that you need to step up in certain ways too. But God has been blessing us with additional human assets.
Yeah.
Recently. We just have to figure out how to help them belong.
Yeah.
And help them to become a part of our church. Human assets. New people. Sorry.
Yes.
One thing I did do is I took the years off of here. I scratched them out.
Oh.
Because what we need to do is we need to be praying about when we want our launch Sunday to be. And we'll have some prep things we need to do going into that, but when that Sunday happens, we put that down. Does that make sense? It's kind of like planning forwards and backwards.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you're trying to say. You scratched out the years. What?
So maybe we don't actually start into this strategic plan until January of 26.
That's fine with me if we use these next few months as a team to pray and to form our vision.
And also to develop this list.
Right.
We have what's wonderful is time.
Yeah.
And time helps us to identify different things. Like right now we're in summer. There's things that we're thinking about and doing right now that honestly by December we're not going to be thinking about and doing.
Nope, right.
Mm-hmm. And so I think having that space to be able to get this developed over time, I think that's a good thing to go with. And so what I'd like to do is I'd like to try to come back together sometime in early December and really hash out the rest of this 3-year plan so that by February is usually my time frame when I'm thinking about launching stuff. The other advantage of February is it's Super Bowl Sunday is in February, and I really like the idea of launching brand new things on Super Bowl Sunday because it's already a party day. So
yeah.
It worked really well at a church I went to once, and honestly the church blew up after that.
Yeah, so we probably won't have these the last two quarters laid out this year.
Right. I don't think we're going to have those yeah. this year.
Yeah.
I think what we need to do is begin to put the strategic plan together starting in the first quarter of 2026. Now, do we have groundwork to lay? Yes. Unlike Zechariah, we don't have the foundation yet.
Right.
We have to build foundation still. I've got to figure out I got to make a list of all the volunteer positions that we have in the church. I don't have that. There's a lot of things I don't have. You know, I'm focusing right now on like, will the HVACs survive the summer? One of them, I don't know. But, you know, and we talked about that room. That has been on my heart and mind for so dang long.
So get it off of it.
I know.
Get it done.
And I know a guy that'll do it for like...
I'm going to come out and help and do whatever I need to do.
I know a guy that'll do it for $1,500, but it's just...
Oh, not that. No, I can't do that.
It's not... Yeah, fixing it up, redoing the walls, getting the electrical put in, all that fun stuff. And we have most of the materials in the shed. Because they literally took it all out of there and put it into the shed.
And we get it. That's and now the it's shed. Refilled. We can put storage stuff in the shed. So we can even put the yard sale stuff in the shed.
Yeah.
If
yeah.
we get that stuff out of there and put it in here
yep.
and make it room.
As long as it's in plastic totes so that mice yeah. can't get into it out there.
Yeah.
The or shed's even been, in here. The shed's been pretty good. I haven't seen any evidence of mice. It's no. a new shed. It's a new shed. It's
well, they also have it up off the ground right. on stilts.
And there's no food in it.
That doesn't stop
them. It doesn't stop them, but it definitely
and there's
helps.
There's no food or water in there. So there's
yeah, there's bed. Nothing interesting for
other
them
than
to get in
there.
Yeah.
They wouldn't have a reason to go in there.
Except for cardboard.
Yeah, for a nest.
I grew up with fields all around.
Oh, yeah.
Come harvest time, the mice all come. yeah.
yeah. I'm
looking for a warm place. They can run back out to the field to get a piece of corn.
All right. These are our core values.
Yep.
Okay. They are, we talked at the last Life 360 church lead pastors meeting. They're actually in the process of rewording some of this. The values are not changing. It's just verbiage stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Are they going to put in
I think what they're doing is number three where it says personal touch. From what I remember them talking about, they're talking about they're going to change it to personal connection. And they've told me, and they've told me that they will give me a new banner for the hallway.
Nice.
Okay.
Yay.
As a resource for you, I have these two pieces of paper. This is from a cohort that I did called Church Life. This was a part of my master's degree. And what you can see there at the top, it says Church Life Levels, triangle, circle, square, and diamond. You see that at the very top? Level 1, level 2, level 3, level 4. Guess what? Level 1. That's where we're at.
Yeah.
0 to 149.
Yep. See up here?
Oh.
This is the size of the church.
Okay, gotcha.
And then based on that, that's what? What is it that's the
so
triangle?
So let me get to that.
Us?
Let me get,
okay,
the
gotcha.
Triangle is us.
Okay.
Okay? That's the goals that we need to reach in order to be there, like functioning where we need to be. We should not expect to exceed. We theoretically should not expect to exceed 150 people if we only meet the triangles. So the idea is that we need to meet the triangles, but we might. But at some point in time, we need to start looking into the circles. Does that make sense? And you can see under each different section there, you see leadership, vision, spiritual life, preaching, assimilation, care, small groups, so on and so forth. All the way across, their color code and all that stuff. You can see triangles behind it, right? So triangle for leadership would be identification of leaders. Guess what? We've got some identification of leaders, but as we're doing this and putting it all together and figuring out where our weaknesses are, I think we need to find more leaders. You know, identification of leadership's responsibilities. What are they supposed to be doing? Have you ever thought to yourself, what am I supposed to be doing in this job?
Yeah,
sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like you go and you get a job, you have a job description.
Well, yeah. I mean, and yeah, this and doesn't have formal job descriptions.
Right, yeah.
But just an understanding of right. what your responsibilities
right.
what
your
role
are. Is. Yeah, yeah.
See, what you're going to notice with the triangles is a lot of it is informal.
Right.
I don't want to throw a bunch of papers at people. We're not there yet. I don't need to give people a commitment card and have them throw it on the stage.
Right.
I just need someone to give me the nod or shake my hand or something, and I'll believe you.
Yeah.
Because your word is your bond.
Right.
Identification of leadership's character, gifts, and personality informally. And then level 4 is included in that, leadership development informally. So those 4 things are things that we need to be doing now if we want to expect to just get up to, I mean, what would we do with 150 people?
Well, that's You said at some point you need to start looking at
the circles.
At the circles. Where are you going to seat those people was the first thing. It's like we need a new church then.
You know what we call those? You know what we call those? We call those good problems.
Oh, well, yo, yes, definitely. Praise God.
Usually first the church goes to two services. That's usually the first yes, solution. Yes.
Yeah, well, the pastors go to two services, but at the same time, they've already set up their building committee by that time to figure out what kind of building they're going to be moving into so the pastor doesn't have to continue to do two services.
Right. We're still trying to figure out how to pay for a new HVAC.
We got to pay for an HVAC system. So let's do that. All right, vision. Identification of a few of the church's core values informally. We are part of a larger church organization, so therefore our core values are actually formal.
Yes.
Identification of some of the church's vision. We're doing that with the Acts 2 Journey right now.
Right.
And I really want to put a stinking booklet together. Why not?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm a nerd. I like booklets. Identification of present reality strengths and weaknesses informally of church and community. We could do that.
What number is that?
Where are you
number
at?
3 on vision.
Oh, you went down. I was going to go
back. Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, that's you go down.
Yeah, see, communicate. I didn't know where you were going.
Sorry, 1, 2, 3, going down.
No, I mean, I didn't know you went down. I thought you were going to the right. Okay.
So, then we got spiritual life, preaching, worship. You can look at all of these all the way across. Some of these triangles are really small, like under facilities. Number 1, provide facilities. Hey, we did that.
Hey. Yeah.
Number 2, maintain facilities. Hey, we're doing that. Number 3, this is the first circle, modernize facilities.
Well, it's in the middle, and we have been doing that. We fixed them up.
We've been modernizing.
Yeah.
Bit by bit by bit. Yeah. Why have we been modernizing?
It was started before we got here. It wasn't finished.
It was started before we got here. It wasn't finished. Also, that's what I'm good at. And I'm the one that's here all the time. So guess what I do when I'm bored?
Well, and and you want to work with modern things.
Yes. I like working with modern things.
Especially I like the modern when we have the resources. Like we had a lot of the things here already.
You know, finances, income gathering, and cash flow recording. Great. I don't even have to think about that. They do that with the L3 over there.
Exactly. Yeah.
They have
2, accounting system chosen. They got it. Annual report. They got it. Annual budget established. They got it. They take all that off my plate.
Yeah. Yeah.
Board financial policies to protect semi-formal. They've got it. Debt management. They got it. All. Honestly, they've got that all the way down to
9.
We'll
have external multi-streamed income.
Yeah. All the way down to 9.
Yeah.
So developing external multi-streamed income would be like if we developed a podcast here at the church.
Yeah.
And then
what about daycare center?
Or a daycare center, whatever it was, and we were able to bring in additional funds from other things. Right. You know, like an after school program.
Yeah, there you go.
But see, that's number 10.
That is a 10.
And we were trying to do it more as a ministry. But you had to have that financial component.
In order to make the ministry work, it had to make money, and it didn't.
Yes.
Because we were not ready for that.
Right. Yeah.
Decision making. Number 1, decision making model informal. Hi, I make a lot of decisions for us. Right. Y'all make a lot of decisions. Insurance protection. Yes. Borrowed constitution and bylaws to guide. Well, we have our own from the church.
Yeah.
From Life 360. We're in a weird situation. So some of these things you look at them and you're like, well, that's we've already got that. So we're kind of like a big church, but also a small church at the same time.
Exactly.
So some of these things are going to affect us locally and some are not. Let's shoot over to ministries. It's the 4th column from the left.
Gotcha.
Number 1, children and youth ministry, teacher program and annual training.
We don't have youth ministry.
We don't have youth ministry.
We have a teacher. We need more.
Yep.
Kristen has already started some. So we need to make that more formal and make opportunities for that for other people.
But we also need to have the training.
Yeah. Right now, I don't have training.
Yeah.
Like, I have the training. I have a minor in biblical studies. I have experience teaching Sunday school since I was 12.
and doing what you do now.
But I don't have formal training.
Well, you know. Jesus didn't have formal training. I don't think it's...
But he was also God.
He was also the Son of God.
Well, yeah.
And he knew everything.
But the point is that we could have some training.
Yeah, we could.
It's available.
It is available.
And that would help incorporate others.
There are actually free tools out there.
Yeah, there's a lot of free stuff for industry. Yeah.
Like Hydrate is available. It's out there, and we can get that, I think, for super cheap or free.
Well, I was thinking, you know, like with the greeters, you know, you want to train your greeters. Like if I were to get Malachi to do a Sunday, you know, it's just a matter of saying, you know, hey, when someone comes in, you're nice to them, you open the door for them, you explain where the bathrooms are. And
oh, he loves to know everything and tell everyone about everything.
Well, yeah.
So I think he would.
He was the one that the first Sunday I came, he opened the door for me and said, "Happy Sunday."
He did. Oh my God.
Yes,
that is so sweet.
It was, and it just impressed on me so much. I just love that little kid, and so he's one that, you know, I think would be great as a greeter, and it would be easy to train. You know. And Pastor Scott, I think, does most of the exiting greeting, you know. Well,
I don't.
If people linger, I
can only move about 20 feet from the pulpit before stopped.
Right. People will come to him.
I try to get to the table.
That's the pastor. I mean, I remember when we were in our church of 300, it was like, Pastor.
And I did that to him one Sunday, and he's like, "This is all good, but I need to go talk to them." You know,
right.
And I was good with that, you know.
Yeah. Well, and there are those moments when I'll tell people, I'm like, "Give me a minute, I need to go talk to them," because I am trying to catch them before they leave,
right?
Or there's something I need to tell someone, or whatever it is. But I think the exit greeter is a wonderful idea.
Yeah, have someone in the hallway.
I don't know why that has never dawned on me before.
Because it naturally occurs, but we're all used to each other. But it doesn't.
Because here's the deal. Where's Steve and Dorothea?
Right.
Yeah. Well, I did
because
talk to
Mary. At Amen, they gone.
Yeah.
So that exit greeter has got to be at that door when I'm praying.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
To get the people that aren't comfortable staying and talking.
That
most new
get
people
up
aren't.
And leave
most
like
new
me.
People are not going to want to linger.
Once I finish my awkward goodbyes, which that's always the hardest part for me, is ending.
See you next Sunday.
See you next Sunday.
Or have a good week.
But it's so weird for me.
Say have a good week.
Yeah, that's what I do. That's what I do. It just doesn't feel natural, I guess. I don't know. It's not important right now. Missions. Foreign missions, giving, home missions, food, clothing. We're doing that. Public relations, internal bulletins. We do the slides. We have the online stuff. That's bulletins are things of the past. We don't use paper anymore.
Right.
Personal contact, yes. Standardized forms, yes.
Hey, is there a place in the Church Center app that you can make a bulletin?
Yes.
Because I think if we got people using it on Sunday, they might be more willing to use it during the week. If we used it corporately. Think about it. Don't answer it. Like if there's a place to take notes, put notes, save notes.
There are. And we were actually... So here's the thing. We had another system that we were using, the Faith Life system.
Uh-huh.
And that integrates with Proclaim, which is our slides. So all of the slides were on there. All of the announcements were on there. All of the notes were on there. Everything. It just never took off. I couldn't get people to do it. So I went with this because then it actually looks like a website. I mean, I can add, there is a section that I can add in. Like they have a button here called Sunday Morning.
Yeah.
There you go.
And Sunday Morning is actually all of our recordings.
Sure.
But what I can do is I can actually set it up where there is a notes page.
Yes.
That's what
That's what we need to do. We need to use it corporately. And I personally, I don't want to go back and look at all the slides from Sunday. I don't have that kind of time.
Yeah.
So we need to do it during church together.
Yeah.
Using it in some capacity. So if people do have questions, they come up naturally and get answered.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you go to signups, now there's nothing on signups right now, but that would be where, like, our big events would be.
So we can...
And those get highlighted.
Right. An easy way to do that is to... You show me how we got to figure out how to put community days in there. Yeah. Everyone's expecting a sign up for that. So if we can put it in there, that's another way to get everybody on it.
Yeah. The other problem with Faith Life, and we did try this for a little while, is that you have to add people into it, and people have to opt in,
mm-hmm.
and it's just, it never
Is this off. One Faith Life, or that's the other one?
Yeah, Faith Life.
That's this one?
No, the one we're using right now. Oh. Is Planning Center.
Okay.
And Planning Center is what we use for our music. It's what we use for our service planning. It's what we use for our church calendar. It's got everything. It is the end-all be-all for our church. So I have to use another program for Big Life 360, but I am not using that here. I will not put you guys through that pain.
Where's Sunday morning? Oh, there it is. Sunday morning.
So if you click on Sunday morning, it'll give you the what's going on.
Okay.
And that automatically populates as I create new services or new sermon series.
And where's the notes
app? I don't have any because I've never put any in.
But where would it appear?
It would appear on the service when you click on it.
Oh. The ones before it's put in there?
I'd have to look at it. Okay. I've never really used it.
Yeah.
Because what it does require of me is it takes... I have to put the notes together.
Yeah, but you already have notes. Just...
Well, I have my sermon notes, but that's not going to be very helpful for people that aren't reading off of the iPad. I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So, anyway, you can see all this stuff. Care, assimilation, we talked about assimilation, warm, accepting, friendly environment, informal follow-up on first-time guests, no tracking. See how it says no tracking?
Well, where?
Where's that at?
Guess, assimilation, third column, first section. Number two, informal follow-up on first-time guests, no tracking.
And they can even you have no tracking.
Do no tracking on them. What? And I actually do that right now. Because I don't make anyone do a connect card until they've been here for two or three times.
Mm, yeah. Well, and you can't really make them do it even then.
I mean, you can encourage it. Because, like, I've been in churches where they say, hey, go. If you're a new first-time guest, come back to our connection table, fill out a card, and they'll give you a Starbucks gift card.
Yeah.
Man, and I'm going to go get myself a gift card and just give you my information. Yeah. Now, what they were talking about with the Connect card, I like that idea. Making it a lot simpler.
Yeah.
You know, getting a name, phone number, and an email address. That's all I need. I can get the information about your kids and everything else later.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because
you just want to connect with them.
How did we learn about your church? I don't care on a piece of paper. You just tell me in person.
Yeah.
We're a small church. So, anyway, I love this list. Use this as a reference piece.
Yes.
And what I mean by that is this is kind of like big church mentality. Think about your ministry and how it fits into this. What kind of assimilation do you have in kids ministry? What kind of care do you have set up in kids ministry? What kind of worker training do you have set up? If you need help with that, I can help you with that. I know all the stuff.
Okay.
I used to be a children's pastor in a larger church.
I know, I was there.
Yeah. You experienced my training. If you need a facility to run kids ministry, I can help you.
Yeah,
so,
got that.
Or maintenance. Like, there's a light bulb flashing in the stinking church, and I've got to get up there on a ladder again.
But maybe it'd be helpful to have a second room, because today I did a activity that required two rooms.
Yeah.
So what I literally did is had the kids sit here and close their eyes. Close your eyes!
Well,
close your eyes! Keep it closed! Let me get this
I think, honestly, we could get the walls put up and it's not going to look good for $1,500.
It doesn't have to look good. It's going to be functional.
It needs to be functional, which means it's going to... It needs to look...
Okay, well, we just need to figure that out.
Because if it's going to be a place where we're going to have as a meeting place or as a prayer place or as a counseling room or whatever it's going to be, then it needs to be comfortable.
Are you putting the wall back up?
Yes.
Okay, so this will be a storage room and a...
Yeah, storage room on this side.
Yeah.
And then that on this side.
Classroom or something.
That's what that $1,500...
That's to put the wall and electricity back in.
Yeah. That's what he talked about earlier.
Yeah. But if we want to make it somewhere that's going to be functional for prayer, or counseling, quiet time, whatever, there's going to have to be more involved. Like, we have to replace that door. Why do we have to replace that door? Because it has a big vent on it. That is not going to create privacy.
It has a big dent.
A vent.
Look at the bottom. Why does it have a vent?
It has a vent because there's no air inlet for that room.
Oh. So it's not going to get a lot of heat in
so
there.
So you're going to put an inlet?
So it has air that goes in, but it doesn't come out unless there's a vent there.
Gotcha.
So there's no air flow.
So you're going to fix that?
Yes. Do you want to know how?
Sure.
Because when we're replacing those air conditioners, the big one that runs this room and all of these other rooms are getting replaced by mini splits.
Okay, that's the one.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, you talked about that.
Okay,
like
so we'll figure
it out.
Two
units there and two units there.
We need to budget that out.
Yeah.
And figure that out.
It's $10,000.
Okay, well, we just need to budget it out and create a timeline.
Raise the money.
Yeah.
So, all right. Church life levels comparisons. I don't want you to compare us to the big churches. You can just close that off in your brain. Okay? What we need to be doing at a minimum is the things that are on that small level.
Okay?
Triangles.
Yes.
I like the bottom one here. The metaphor. We're a small engine plane.
A single engine plane.
Yes. Do you know what's really, really interesting about... Do you know what the biggest difference between a World War I biplane and a World War II propeller fighter?
Two engines.
No, one engine. They're both one engine.
Oh.
But here's the deal. The World War II fighter is a whole lot faster. But that World War I biplane, that thing can turn on a thimble.
Yeah.
On a needle. It'll just turn. That's how the Red Baron got it done.
Yeah.
That's us right now. We can be trucking along in this direction and all of a sudden, oh, we need to go that way.
Right.
Boom, and we're going that way.
Yeah.
And then I just have to communicate to everyone, hey, we're going this way now. That's my part to fix. So.
Don't make me dizzy.
Well, because we have a small enough congregation that follows. Because you have a bigger congregation, you have to have everybody buy in. You have to, you know, you can't just switch stuff around.
When I was at a larger church, my pastor told me that our church is like a ship. And there is a small rudder, and it doesn't turn quickly. Well, guess what? We're a small boat with a big engine. We can turn quick. So,
yeah.
Dual engine airplane, don't worry about that stuff. Flying using systems, I don't care. Flying using teams and systems, I don't care. That is, if we get to 800 people, we can talk.
It's the size of the town.
No. 800 is more than in the town.
Yes.
But that's not too many people if we are actually going to be very successful in reaching our community.
Sure. Yes.
We can have 1,500 people in this church mm-hmm. and still have people in our community that are not in church.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So, am I saying we never grow beyond where we are? No. But we have to get good at this, because if we don't do this well, we don't steward what we have well, we're not going to get more. And is it about the numbers? No, not really. It's not about the report. It's not about the money. It's about how many people get to make it to heaven.
Yes.
And we need to keep that in mind. So, okay. If you have any questions on any of this, let me know. And this is your homework. Take some time and think about what's going to go into this chart. If you need another chart, let me know.
Yeah.
I'll get you another one. I'll get you another 40. I can print them off all day long. Okay? Okay. Any questions? All right, let's pray. Lord God, thank you so much for bringing us together. Thank you for us going through this journey. It is not done. It is only begun. Just because the videos have finished doesn't mean we stop. I pray, Lord God, that we would continue to have focus on growing your church here in Conway. Lord, I pray for our church. I pray for the leaders in our church. I pray for our energy and our determination. Lord, I pray that we could be faithful to you. I thank you, Lord, for all you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Alrighty.
That was an awesome lesson.
Yeah. Just the other ones are going to be on here, right? I could try to do one a week. But you guys already did. The recordings are on there, right? The last ones?
Yeah, the recordings are on there.
Right. Because I don't need the visual. I just need to hear it. So it's got the video, right? Because I'll listen.